It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks. Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at ixllearning.com/audio. Visit ixllearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Jeff Rust here with you alongside Danny Morang. Jordan Schultz on the other side of the glass. 102 on your Swatch watch. And I'm not going to lie, I had fun making those opens this week. That was pretty fun.
Do love me some Spaceballs.
Some Anchorman in the hour number one.
If it's Mel Brooks, I love it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, man, we ain't found S.
We're supposed to get Spaceballs 2 here soon.
I know. Yes, it's Josh Gad, as I believe, behind some of it. Mm-hmm. And teaming up with Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks still alive. I think he's 99.
I think he's 127, if I remember correctly.
I actually have to look this up now.
He's just old.
He is old, but he's still got his faculties.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
yes.
I've seen a couple of interviews with him. Yes. He's 98.
98. Yeah.
He'll be 99 in 2 weeks.
Well, you got him and what? As far as our near centenarians, you got Mel Brooks and then Carl Reiner. Another one.
Yeah, I
also still
I couldn't
sharp as attack.
Still,
I think he's 99.
Didn't he do Spinal Tap?
Could be. But yeah, he's also older than dirt. What do we got here for him? I'm sorry. Carl Reiner died.
Oh.
Well, all right, Carl Reiner dead. Wow, and pretty dead. Almost 5 years now.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, excuse the heck out of
me. Well, I bring up Spinal Tap because you know they're re-releasing it, right?
Are they?
Yeah.
Nice. Michael McKean, Harry Shearer.
Oh, God, Spinal Tap is so great.
Yeah.
Goes to 11.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Goes to 11.
They're afraid of us because we got armadillos in our pants. so many good, like, they had a preview for it. You know, I got to do it quick. I saw the new Mission Impossible this weekend.
Oh, did you?
I forgot about that. We went and saw that early Saturday morning before, mm-hmm. We were going to go Saturday morning. We ended up going Friday night. Saw it in the IMAX.
Nice.
Tom Cruise delivered, man.
Yeah.
Three Ds, triple Ds on the approval rating. It crushed. It is a movie that, I love action movies, suspense movies, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
After the first act, it does not stop.
Yeah.
You were tense the whole time, and you're like, holy, like, I got done with the movie, and I was kind of tired because I was just like, even though you know what's kind of going to happen,
right.
Like, they do a great job of making it suspenseful for like, because it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's a full run.
Well, it's
man.
Like, you know that Ethan Hunt's going to get out of it, you know?
But even then, like, it was still just like, he took it to another level, man. It was a really, really, really fun action movie.
I enjoy all those Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah, go see that. It was Dead Reckoning. Final Reckoning.
Yes, Final Reckoning. Speaking of, you know how he's going to get out of it, but we don't know how this one's going to go.
Mm.
Your local Toyota dealers present the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club on Tuesday, June 24th. That is a scant 15 days from today.
Yeah,
two weeks from tomorrow.
Tomorrow, man, which means we are 2 weeks from Wednesday for the NBA draft.
Yes.
Because it's going to be a fun 48 hours here, because I'm going to struggle the day of the draft, because everybody who's ever been out the golf tournament knows my goal is to end up in a bunker.
Yeah.
I have not yet. I have not pulled a Sukanik and ended up in a bunker yet. I have drank in the requisite amount of tequila to end up there.
There we go, yeah.
But I have yet to actually end up there.
Go hit the grocery store for your preparation on the 25th and hit the old get the liquid IV packet.
So I've been doing the
or some Pedialyte.
I've been doing the Gatorade electrolyte ones. I brought two of those out on the golf course yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Clutch. Yeah.
Or you got like your Mios, they have like a hydrate one too. You know what I mean? Got all kinds of options. The Fan Golf Classic, also brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors. They were who I was referring to earlier in terms of being go-givers instead of go-getters. And also by Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. Once again, there will be a morning and an afternoon flight. Matt's Barbecue, catering your post-round meal. Foursomes can be purchased right now in the morning, because the afternoon is sold out. Go to 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for details and the link to purchase your foursome. More details. We look forward to seeing you out there.
Yeah, I ran into some guys at Shalem the other day that told me they're going to be out there for the golf tournament. So I was like, oh, dude, they had not been before. And I'm like, you're in for a good trip.
There
it's,
we go.
It's a kick-ass day.
It's a good time.
I've never seen anyone out there who was not like, that was a good day. Yeah, that was worth it.
Maybe one of these days we'll convince the bosses to just run ESPN radio all day so I can actually go out there and enjoy myself.
Yeah, because you got to come out
there
later.
Not get out there at 4:30 in the afternoon. Yeah. Anywho. All right. Now we got all that sales business done. Let's move on to some more sports talk. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler.
And he's wearing number 8.
Okay.
He took it off the punter or the kicker. I can't remember which one it was. But he's wearing his number 8.
Number 8.
Not wearing 12.
Okay. Who else already has 12 on the Steelers?
It was a kicker or a punter. I can't remember who it was.
Huh.
But oh, no. He wanted 8. But 8 was his I believe 8 was his number in college.
Yeah. Gotcha. So a one-year $13.65 million deal, $10 million guaranteed, worth up to $19.5 million with incentives.
Can't Steelers wear 12 because of Bradshaw.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Thank you. Minicamp starts tomorrow. He said he'd play for $10 million, but he could wind up getting almost double that with the incentives.
Yeah.
What does Aaron Rodgers have left in the tank?
I think he's going to be good enough to get them to 9-10 wins. Like, but that's kind of the Steelers. But I think it's going to be a different. It's going to be a more reliable version of the Steelers. Like, I don't think it's a stretch of any imagination to say he's the best quarterback they've had since Roethlisberger. And I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about cooked Roethlisberger. I'm talking about like good Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah. I don't think there's any question there.
And so you've seen them win basically 9 games every single year with lesser.
Yes.
So for me, seeing them, it was like, oh, it's the Steelers. They'll win 9-10. They'll, you know, they'll be okay. And I'm like, I mean. Look, even older Aaron Rodgers is so much better than you've had at quarterback over the last decade. Kind of hard for me to see them not probably winning some games that people think that they shouldn't or they won't win.
Yeah.
I'm not bullish on them in the sense of like, oh, no, they're going to win 11, 12 games. But like, if you told me they won 11, it wouldn't shock me.
So speaking of you're getting an older Aaron Rodgers, last year he played all 17 games. Mm-hmm. His third fewest passing yards in his career in which he played a full season. He's had only 4 seasons with double-digit interceptions, but 2 of those have come in his last 2 full seasons. Mm-hmm. Last year was his lowest passer rating of his career when playing a full season. But guess what? Mm. Still a better option than Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, or Will Howard.
By a lot.
Yes. So it's, and I guess the next question is too, how nuts will he drive Mike Tomlin? Like, are his eyes going to bug out of his head even more?
No, because this is a man that not only dealt with and managed Antonio Brown, he got the best out of him. And you can go down the list of guys, whether it's Debo and James Harrison. The level of crazy that Mike Tomlin has coached over his years is unmatched, mm-hmm. and he gets the most out of those guys. And Aaron's a competitor, and I think he will go in there with the right men. Like the one that if you're gonna put air quotes worry about is Arthur Smith. Because mm-hmm. he's not gonna walk over Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is maybe the most established coach in professional sports. Uh-huh. He's stamped to the point of there's no questioning him. The ownership is not going to if there's a dispute that needs to be settled, it's going to be settled with Mike Tomlin, uh-huh. not Aaron Rodgers.
So, how much of this mini camp do you think Arthur Smith spends trying to either implement Aaron Rodgers into his scheme or trying to help build something around Aaron Rodgers?
I think it's going to be kind of a little bit of both, because Aaron's not going to go there and run Arthur Smith's offense. They're going to build elements into it, and that's Aaron. I mean, it's every elite quarterback is, Peyton Manning goes to the Broncos, you see the same thing. Tom Brady goes to the Bucks, you see the same thing. Like, if you have half of a brain, you're going to utilize your Hall of Fame caliber quarterback the way that he needs to be utilized. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to see the Aaron Rodgers Cal offense or the early Packers offense where it's very West Coast dominated, but you are going to see a run first offense. It's going to set up a play action pass, yeah, but
that's what Mike Tomlin does.
Yeah. But you're going to see elements of Aaron pushing the ball down the field, mm-hmm. off those play action to DK.
Yes.
Of all the storylines in the NFL, the Bears and the Steelers are probably the two that I am most paying attention to outside of my Raiders, who are just giving me a little bit of hope.
Mm-hmm.
I look at those two organizations for very different reasons on the quarterback scale of like young quarterback versus old quarterback, but both organizations have been so bereft of quarterback play. Can those guys elevate and make those teams not only viable, but plus producers on the offensive side? And I think those are the two biggest storylines of like what we could see from the NFL this year.
So where do we think the Pittsburgh Steelers fall in the hierarchy of the AFC North with Joe Burrow and the Bengals and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens?
It's the Ravens division.
And then insert quarterback here and the Browns.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Bengals are so dysfunctional from their own doing. But yes, they still have Joe Burrow. They still have Ja'Marr Chase. They still have T. Higgins. Still need to figure out Trey Hendrickson. Still need to figure out Shamar Stewart. Like, you still need to figure out the defensive side of the ball, which the Steelers don't need to figure out other than T.J. Watt, which is a big thing to figure out. But yes, you just kind of know what the Steelers are going to be defensively. I, weirdly enough, think that the Steelers are going to be a more complete team than the Bengals. That doesn't mean I think that they'll go further in the playoffs.
Right.
I think the Ravens are clearly the class of the division. They've got Lamar, they've got Henry, mm-hmm. They've got Harbaugh. Like, they're going to be what they are. But the Bengals' dysfunction, it just seems like they shoot themselves in the foot so much that the Steelers don't.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, even if they don't have as much talent, they're not going to sit there and, play Russian roulette every week.
Right.
Whereas I think the Bengals are playing Russian roulette so often, particularly on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of wonder what you're going to get in, week out, because we've seen that team light up a scoreboard and we've seen them get lit up on the other end. It's like, I don't know. So I think you're fighting for second in that division, which AFC North is probably the second best division in football.
Mm-hmm.
The three best divisions in football right now, it's the NFC North, AFC North, AFC West. Those are the three best divisions in football. Because, again, this isn't even biased with my Raiders. My Raiders are going to be the worst team in that division.
Right. But you still got the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos.
But, I mean, if the Raiders win 8 games and that's the worst team in your division,
that's a solid division.
That's a good division, right? Like, you're like, you don't get those 6 weeks that you play in those other teams, you don't get those games off. Like,
right.
you're in for something each week. And I think the same can be true of the AFC North, where, yeah, the Browns are the Browns, but, like, they still have talent.
Yeah. Well, and just quickly, because we're coming up against it a little bit here, but with those Browns, they have a very full quarterback room. You have Deshaun Watson still hanging around somehow.
Because
he's super expensive. And you got Kenny Two Gloves, Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. You got Joe Flacco. And, of course, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Who do you think starts week one?
God. Pickett?
Yeah. Just because he's one of the few... Yeah, I mean, some experience.
Yeah, I it's hard for me to see either Gabriel or Shedeur, because Shedeur's further down the depth chart than Gabriel is right now. So yeah. I don't think they're gonna dust off
old Joe Flacco.
Gun to my head, it's between Pickett and Flacco. I don't think they're gonna roll Watson out there. I think they're gonna try to find a way to get him off the roster. They're gonna keep pushing the medical retirement stuff and see if they can get him out of there. I just think you're not going to see him play there ever again.
Right. And so then this leads to the next question. How early or at what point during the season do they make a change at the starting quarterback?
Week six.
Yeah.
Because the backup quarterback's always the favorite guy in town.
Right.
You got two young guys, and what harm is it going to do you to throw one of them out there?
Yeah. All right.
So, you know, the Browns are going to continue to Browns, and that quarterback jersey that has all the names of the quarterbacks is going to get a lot longer.
Yes. Could add five more on there this season, or if I guess four more. Anywho, so there we go. Aaron Rodgers, a Pittsburgh Steeler, coming up next. We're going to talk a little baseball. We got some baseball stuff. The Seattle Mariners, they had a little bit of a slide, I believe a five-game losing streak, but George Kirby, all of a sudden, did he shake off the off-season rust coming back from injury? That'll be coming up next. Jeff Rust along here with Danny Morang, Jordan Schultz, Danny and Rusty, edition of Danny and Dusty here on 1080 The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks. Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
The Seattle Mariners, they snapped a five-game losing streak yesterday behind the arm of one George Kirby. His first three starts this year after coming, he was hurt to start the year. So yesterday was his fourth start of the season. First three did not go great. He had an ERA of 11.42 through his first two starts, and I believe going into yesterday it was around 8.5 or so. But yesterday, 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs, both earned, no walks, 14 strikeouts.
14 of 21, pretty good.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, yeah. You're, two-thirds of your outs are coming via the strikeout. You're locked in. You're in the zone for sure. Unfortunately for the Mariners, they did have that five-game losing streak that did drop them down under 54%. They're just under 52% winning percentage right now. I can't remember what podcast it was. So it was a baseball one I was listening to on MLB Network the other day, and they were basically giving the Mariners crap about. And that might have been John Boy who was talking about it, and they went down the path of like, you know, what's the Mariners' plan? And yeah, it was John Boy. Because I remember him saying, "Oh, we know their plan. They want to win 54% of their games.
Yes,
like that's the goal, is like just be above this mark." And because they were talking about the trade deadline coming and what moves they may or may not make, and you know, you're hoping that your young superstar kind of finds his groove at the plate, but you've got.
Cal Raleigh, right? Oh, no, wait, no. You're talking Julio.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Julio. Wake up, buddy.
What's interesting is ESPN, MLB.com basically have, I think they both have stories out today that say that the MVPs are locked up in the NL and AL. Like, Judge and Shohei are so far ahead in what they've done, it would take them basically not playing the rest of the year to not win the MVPs. Now, with that said, Cal Raleigh is doing enough to right now garner real love and interest as being the second most valuable player in the AL.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about it.
Well, you have
that.
A catcher leading the league in home runs with a three home run cushion on Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani.
While
got 26
hitting
to their 23.
Plus average while being the best defensive catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Like,
so
though that's tough to do.
Yeah.
Like, so you can give him the real hat tip, but at the same time, Judge, I think he's on pace to hit like just under like 370 with, you know, 50 home runs and 120 RBI. It's like, yeah, that's got to be tough to beat.
Yes, that's pretty good. The big dumper dropping deuces all over the place. Early on, though, the Mariners, they had a stellar, I remember doing an OA segment a few weeks ago and remarking on the Mariners' run differential and how they were, I believe at that point, it was the third best in the American League. Right now, their run differential, zero.
It's actually
they are even Steven.
It's actually really interesting when you look at run differential in baseball. It feels like the teams that are really bad, like the Rockies,
the Colorado Rockies,
and unfortunately for Joe Fisher, his Orioles, 84, 89, 115, and 198, all negative differentials. There's a lot more teams that are in like the meat of this, and yet the Mariners are the only team in the league right now currently at a zero. Where the Blue Jays are a minus one and the Rangers are a plus two, the Braves are a plus three. And you've got a lot of teams that are within 20, basically. You've got the Padres, Red Sox, Phillies, Braves, Rangers, Mariners, all zero to under 20. And on the negative side, you've got the Blue Jays, the Royals, the Diamondbacks, and the Guardians, all under negative 20. Like, there's a pretty wide swath in that range. The only teams that are really, oh my God, running away with it are the Rays, Dodgers, Mets, Tigers, Yankees, and Cubs. The Cubs are plus 105. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
The Cubs-Cardinals series rivalry might be heating up because you have the best offense in baseball and the best defense in baseball, kind of looking at how those things might shake out in the NL Central. But as it pertains to the Mariners, they're kind of doing what they want to do, which is be good. But is it good enough, and are they going to make a move or enough moves to vault into that next tier?
So will they be buyers?
I think they will, but it's like on the secondary market.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're
not going to go get a star.
No, but can you go
get they'll go get a decent bat.
Can you go get a Teoscar Hernandez?
Mm-hmm. Weird. It's almost like he could have used him on that roster at one point.
Yeah, maybe if you had paid $1 million more and kept him so he didn't go sign a one-year deal with the Dodgers. That's the thing. Is like, will ownership greenlight the front office the opportunity to go out there and get somebody to protect Julio and Cal Raleigh?
Yeah, because you can't go too far with just those, that pitching.
Yeah,
and then basically a bat and a half.
Yeah, like, number one, Julio has to figure it out.
Yes.
Number two, they need some more run support in there. You need some more power. And, like, you know, maybe you go get a guy who's not as much power, but maybe you get a higher average guy that's out there and see what can happen. If I'm anybody in baseball right now, I'm calling the Orioles because this is a lost season for them.
Yes.
If you can go...
Even though they did just sweep the Mariners.
They did. But can you go steal a bat off that roster? Can you go pilfer the Rockies, what they don't have. Like, you mean like the teams that you know you can go steal something off of because they're screwed this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the path for the Mariners.
Let me put it this way for you, Rusty.
I was just going to point over to our resident Mariners expert and get your viewpoint here. So yeah, go fire away.
I really appreciate it, man. I think if you just take Donovan Solano off the roster and mm-hmm. you add Ty France, who has been hitting his booty off for the Minnesota Twins this season,
uh-huh.
to this current Mariners roster, and this once again just shows the Seattle Mariners' ineptitude, I think that you would actually have a team still in first place in the AL West despite all the pitching struggles. They're still, once again, and yes, that is their moniker, 54%. And by the way, that's what the wild card spot in the AL West is. I think two or three times, or in the AL, two or three teams are tied
mm-hmm.
for the AL wild card lead, and they're all sitting at 54%. But essentially, the Mariners have been two bats short, and getting rid of Ty France and not signing anybody this offseason has left them two bats short.
Well, now, so let's see here. I believe I heard you in one of your award-winning SportsCenter updates say, are they calling up my countryman, Dominic Canzone?
So there were reports. There was a local card shop up in Seattle last night
okay.
that had apparently had an autograph session with one Rainier Dominic Canzone scheduled.
Gotcha.
But then a post on social media said, congrats to Dominic Canzone for getting called up to the majors. We're going to reschedule this. So apparently, but there's been no announcement from the team officially yet.
Gotcha. Because I remember last season, too, he served as a bit as a spark for them. He had a little bit of, he had some pop in his bat.
He's got pop, but the unfortunate thing about him is he's like a 4A guy. He hits home runs down in Tacoma, and every time he comes to the majors, he looks lost at the plate. But gotcha. You know what? The Mariners are giving a lot of at-bats to a lot of very, I'd say, not major league average players right now, so yeah. Can't hurt him, I guess.
Well, so the Mariners, they currently sit, they are 2.5 games behind the Houston Astros in the American League West. The
emphasis on the ass.
Yes. Emphasis on the ass.
Screw you, George Springer.
Yes, and you too, brand man.
Mm.
But so 2.5 games back of the Astros. We'll see if they can figure something out, try to get themselves another bat. We got about a month or so until the All-Star break, if that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
So anywho, coming up on the other side of the break, we've got today's worst day on the web. Later on, we'll probably talk a little bit of Beavers baseball. Next hour, some Blazers assistant coaching hires. And 2:30, we'll have my Mount Rushmore of Oregon movies. But first, we have got Schultzy with a SportsCenter update.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks. Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
I feel like we need to take our cue from movies. What is dead may never die. Should stay that way for the love of God. But no. Those bright young minds at Yale have found ways to reanimate dead brain cells.
Oh, boy.
This comes to us from the world of science. A medical breakthrough might allow doctors to reverse death. No, for real this time. In a series of chilling and groundbreaking experiments, researchers at Yale have successfully restored cellular activity to pig brains hours after death. The process, named Brain X, revives neuron function using a specialized synthetic fluid that mimics blood, but with oxygen-carrying and anti-inflammatory properties. What stunned scientists wasn't just the reactivation of brain cells, it was that synapses began fire again, despite no heartbeat or electrical activity beforehand. This wasn't full consciousness, but it hinted at something far more terrifying. Death, as we define it, might be reversible under the right conditions. I find it poignant that 28 years later is coming out later this summer.
I was just thinking of that. Because that the first one, the 28 Days Later, mm-hmm. one of my favorite zombie movies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it kind of redefined the genre to yes. be as dark and bleak and terrifying as it can be.
Yeah.
For those that have not seen the preview, Cillian Murphy and Ralph Fiennes.
There we go, yeah.
Are in this one. I'm definitely excited for that. But yeah, this scares the crap out of me. Like when we're talking about, you know, I went down that rabbit hole of the mechanized infantry, you know, using robot dogs in North Korea to search the tunnel linings along the DMZ. And I'm like, oh boy, I don't know if you guys have tracked over the last couple of weeks what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. Have you seen the proliferation of drone warfare?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Drone attacks all weekend and
there was a video that went viral in the military community, and
I try to stay away from the videos. I can't watch
it. Well, I had a buddy of mine, you know, he's still in, and he goes, man, this stuff is getting crazy. It was in the trench warfare area, the I shouldn't say demilitarized, the militarized zone, where there's actual trench warfare being conducted between Ukraine and Russia. And there's a video of a Ukrainian soldier in the trenches, and you hear, it's this swarm of explosive-laden drones that are just being flown in there and detonated. And this guy is recording what could be his last moments, because you just, like, if somebody decides that, that it picks you up and it flies in there, you're done. It's like it's a guided grenade.
Yeah.
Like it's not hope and pray. It's they ain't gonna miss. I mean, there's another video I saw of drone warfare where the Russians were hiding. I think it was a T-72. It was an older gen main battle tank in like a semi enclosed warehouse, like you know, the walls that don't come all the way down.
Right. Okay.
It's
yeah.
It's like 6 feet high of empty space, but then it's all steel around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was had a camouflage cover on it, but the drone operator kind of knew what he was looking for, flew it in there, found an open hatch and parked it in there and detonated it and set the tank on fire. And there was a bunch of ammunition around. So you got some secondary explosions and destroyed this tank for what probably amounted to them to be $60. $60 just to destroy probably a $2 million tank, $4 million tank.
Wow.
And just like that. But, you know, we're getting back to this, like, so now we're going to reanimate dead soldiers of body or dead bodies of soldiers and have them be the warfare of the future. Like I was talking to a retired general a couple weeks ago about drone warfare, and I asked, you know, like the last thing any military officer wants to do is put their soldiers in harm's way. And I asked him about the proliferation of drone warfare, and he said, in a sense, it's good because we're taking human lives out of this more, but it's even more unreal because it's become so decentralized. It really started with the drone, the unarmed drones, the reconnaissance, the, you know, the Predators, the Global Hawks, things of that nature. And then, you know, as Lockheed is wont to do and Raytheon is wont to do, what happens if we strap an AGM-65 to this thing? For those that don't know, AGM-65 is an air-to-ground missile. It's usually you'll usually use it in close air support, and it's usually attached to platforms like the A-10. It's electrical obstacle tracking air-to-ground missile. But you know, it's one of those things where it's like it's good in the sense of like the we can counter the loss of life in warfare, but also decentralizes and desensitizes warfare because now it's you don't have that loss of life. And now we're going to take this a step further and say if you do have the loss of life, maybe you're reanimating them. And I'm like, this scares the crap out of me. Like, not to get corny, but like the Justice League movie when they talk about bringing Superman back to life.
Yes.
Like, what if, I mean, when you die, some part of you dies. Like, what if we actually find a way to reanimate humanity? Like, what, like, how much of their, you know, quote, whether you're religious or faith driven or not, like your soul, like who you are, like, is that gone? Like it, this to me, like we talk about Pandora's box,
right?
This feels like Pandora's box.
Well, what was that movie? Was it 21 Grams? Where they say, with Naomi Watts, and they say that 21 grams is the amount of weight that your body loses once you die. And they equate that to your soul leaving your body. So yeah, it's like when you reanimate somebody, what exactly are you reanimating and what are you bringing back?
Yeah. What are you bringing back 21 grams of?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's not cocaine.
Yeah. No. But, like this scares the crap out of me.
Yeah. I just, can we just keep zombie films fictional?
Yeah. Can
is
we
that
not
too much to ask?
Well, I mean, we're doing a new Frankenstein. I think it's a TV show.
Really?
Yeah. God, I saw a preview for it. It just popped in my head. Total squirrel moment.
Oh, no. I think I said, yeah. But it's by somebody like good and important,
I think
too.
I think it's Del Toro.
Is it Del Toro?
I think that's it's right Guillermo. Yeah.
Which, so that's going to be pretty good, probably. We my daughter, my 13-year-old, she has lately been getting into scary movies. She, you know, she watched all the Screams and all those kinds of things. And
yeah, it's a movie. It's Frankenstein. It's Guillermo del Toro, and it's Oscar Isaac.
Oh, okay.
He's playing the doctor.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, so we showed her Dawn of the Dead the other day.
Mm.
The you know, with Ving Rhames and Sarah Pauley and Ty Burrell is
in
there.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, so we got to the end of that. She loved it. We got to the end and she's
sitting
like,
on the rooftop with and finding, was it Oprah and Jay Leno and so like the zombies that look like them, and they're just dropping them with high-powered rifles. And I'm like, okay, that's a little too on brand because Lord knows that's me sitting on that rooftop with a high-powered rifle.
We get to the end of it and she goes, all right, let's start the next one. She's like, what's the Dawn of the Dead 2? I'm like, well, there isn't one. I'm like, that was it. She's like, there's not a sequel. I'm like, yeah. No. She goes, what the ass, Dad?
Yeah. There are spinoffs of that one, I believe.
Yeah. Well, because was it George Romero that did like all of the Land of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead? And yes. But yeah, that one to me was kind of more of a, the best standalone.
Oh yeah. No, it had a good feel to it.
And yeah.
It was kind of weird. Speaking of Ving Rhames, he's in the new Mission Impossible and like,
oh, he's in all of them, isn't he?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, his character, it's weird because Tom Cruise is old and when you grow up with an actor or an athlete or something like that, you don't really see them as they look the same to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Tom Cruise looks the same to me, even though I know he looks different. And they had, now this isn't a spoiler or anything like that, but they like during the credits and stuff like that. And there's certain parts of the movie where they have flashbacks and it's the first Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Oh. And I'm like, looks way different. that is 31 years ago.
Yeah, tiny baby Tom Cruise.
I'm like, holy crap, he does look different. Yeah. And it was like seeing Ving Rhames look old.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he legitimately looks old now.
Yeah.
Because you know what my first encounter with Ving Rhames was?
What I can think of is Pulp Fiction.
Before that, I believe, he did a Don King movie.
Really?
Where he played Don King. And I will forever remember this line. I can't remember what it was. I want to say I was like 13 or 14 when it came out. Uh-huh. Probably not the right age to view this movie.
Uh-huh.
But he's having a meeting in the bathroom with another agent or like greasing the wheels of something. And he goes up to the urinal, takes a leak, and he comes back and he has this meeting. And it goes, the guy is like, aren't you going to wash your hands? And he goes, I wash my hands before I touch my.
Gotcha.
But that line like from Ving Rhames always sticks in my head. Yeah. And I'm like, even now, like that line lives rent-free in my head. My 13, 14-year-old brain was like, yeah, that's right. I washed my hand before I touched my junk.
It's like, yeah, for me, it's the towards the end of Pulp Fiction when Bruce Willis helps go get him. And, you okay? He goes, no, I'm pretty effing far from okay.
The Don King movie was 97.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, it was just a couple of years after Pulp Fiction. I believe that was 94.
I think it was 94. So yeah. I definitely didn't see Pulp Fiction when it came out because I was 10.
I was in college. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
Down in Salem.
There you go.
Yeah. Freshman year.
There you go.
Yep. So, that was a, and what was weird about that too was it, not that there was anything weird about it, but that was Pulp Fiction, that we didn't have anything like that before that.
No.
Like it was a difference maker.
You had, what was the one before that with
Reservoir Dogs.
Thank you. Yes. Which again was groundbreaking for its time. But
yes. It didn't hit the same levels of success as Pulp Fiction.
Well,
it has a cult status.
Yeah, it did in like how it was viewed, but it wasn't as popular. Pulp Fiction was the cult acclaim and the popularity with it.
Yes. Yeah. And so, and not to mention that's what brought us back John Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
That was his renaissance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Cause he disappeared.
He disappeared cause he did some pretty corny stuff for a while before that. But
and that's
that
back, back in the day when you could disappear forever.
Yes.
And then never come back.
Yeah. Good old. Yeah. So you had Travolta and Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson.
That was when Tarantino kind of popularized like loading the cast up and down.
Yeah.
For even bit parts.
What, Eric Stoltz? You had a Rosanna Arquette in there too. And Tim Roth, Amanda Plummer.
I believe I saw an interview with Tarantino that where he wrote the role for the wolf. Mm-hmm. What is his name?
Harvey Keitel.
Keitel.
Yeah.
He wrote it for him.
Yeah.
And he actually did that with they've released like his preferred cast choices.
Mm-hmm.
And some were like, holy crap. But I believe Harvey Keitel, that role was written for him, which was why he was so good at it.
Well, and I think if I remember correctly, Stoltz wasn't supposed to be in the part that he had. I think originally like he was going to be Vincent Vega, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But then, they dusted off John Travolta. All right. Well, there we go. Some good zombie movie talk into Pulp Fiction and Ving Rhames and Travolta.
Love it.
Coming up next, we got kind of an open segment. Maybe we'll talk a little Beavers baseball, something like that. But you are listening to a Danny and Rusty edition of Danny and Dusty here on 1080 The Fan. Revisiting a little bit our Worst Day on the Web segment, which started out with reanimating humans and turned into zombie films and then into Quentin Tarantino and Pulp Fiction. He had an interesting list of preferred actors for the roles in that movie. And he,
Tarantino's a guy who writes for specific actors.
Exactly.
When he does these parts, and he has his cast preferences, and they're usually very tight.
Yes. And like, you went and dug some of these up over the break.
This got released, I want to say, like a year or two ago. But it's interesting when you think about it, like the role of Pumpkin was written for Tim Roth,
mm-hmm.
and that took off. Harvey Keitel, the Wolf, that was 100% him. Like that was,
And Marcellus Wallace was also written for Ving Rhames.
It was Ving Rhames and Sam Jackson. Either one of those were his number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like he put like three asterisks next to his number one choices. And I think that's the only one that had two guys that was like either Ving or Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
This is what we want, which is interesting because in the Jules part, he wrote that for Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, Cowboy Curtis.
So Sam Jackson was his number two on that. Because he wanted Sam for...
Marcellus.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
What's interesting, though, is Vincent was actually written for Michael Madsen.
Oh, okay.
So Travolta's character was Madsen, but Travolta was his number two choice, mm-hmm. which is pretty interesting when you think about when we talked about going into the break.
Because he hadn't been doing anything.
No. But there's a couple of names that popped up on here. Alec Baldwin, Gary Oldman.
I think Gary Oldman's
probably one of the best actors we've
had. Oh, no, I love Gary Oldman. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg. You cannot tell that is Gary Oldman.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I love Gary Oldman.
There's as dumb and great as the Fifth Element is, there are two roles in that movie that both guys acted their asses off.
Mm-hmm.
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg.
What, Chris Tucker?
Oh, Chris Tucker as Ruby Rod, man.
Ruby Rod! And my God.
That was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be Eddie Murphy or Chris Rock that was supposed to be in that.
Okay.
And Tucker kind of fell into it.
Right.
And boy, was he perfect in that.
It's amazing how some of these movie roles that have since become, I don't want to say iconic,
but like synonymous characters,
but yeah. And trying to picture, you know, like with what we're seeing with the Pulp Fiction here, trying to picture a different actor star in that role and be like, how different would that have felt?
Who stars along Denzel in Training Day?
Ethan Hawke. Yes.
I think it's Ethan Hawke. Turned down, I think he told this on like Letterman or something like that. He turned down Independence Day. The way he told the story was, you know, I'm driving down the road. I think he's on his way to Las Vegas or something like that. He goes, I'm sitting in the passenger seat and I'm reading the script and it feels so corny. And I think he was talking about the part where they fly the plane back at, you know, he goes, I'm home. And he's like, this is so dumb. Threw the script out the window. And he goes, yeah, next year I saw Will Smith making $100 billion. He goes, kind of regret that one. And there was Matt Damon. He turned down one to be in Bourne.
Well, those turned out okay.
But he was a Christopher Nolan movie. I think it was Interstellar.
Oh, okay.
He turned down that role and he was going to get equity in the movie.
Oh, okay.
He's like, yeah, I was supposed to get like 10% or 20% of the movie from Chris Nolan. He goes, yeah, I probably should have made room in my schedule for that one.
I think the Bourne franchise turned out okay. I think that's a pretty underappreciated franchise.
Well, speaking of turning out okay, the Oregon State Beavers under Mitch Canham have also turned out to be pretty damn okay.
They are turning out to be okay. They are on their way to Omaha.
And I want to bring up this text from the text line. As a longtime Beav baseball P1, I think the biggest takeaways are making the World Series post-Pat Casey era. Canham made it back with entirely his own roster. That's notable and good for Mitch. Going to Omaha as an independent only further Bolden's OSU status as a baseball blue bud West Coast power.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what we talked about when Fish was on and, you know, both Oregon and USC got knocked out. I'm like, number one, I wasn't shocked. I mean, Oregon State is, they are them when it comes to baseball. And
yes.
Like, USC getting the game off them was like, oh, well, that's good for them. Mm-hmm. I like to see that happen. But you're talking about two totally different eras.
Yes.
You know, that's, I think the parallel you draw in the NBA is, you know, Rich Carlisle taking the Mavericks to the finals and the Indiana Pacers. Totally different personnel, totally different players, totally different styles. Like what Canham has been able to do to keep that machine going.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to fall behind a legend mm-hmm. than it is to measure up or get to a point where you surpass with, you know, having your own bones about it. And yeah. I think that's what's most impressive about this Oregon State team is this is his own recruits, this is his own development, his own style, his own thumbprint is on this. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot like Ohio State, whether it's been Tressel or Urb Meyer or Ryan Day, like they just keep the machine going.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks that's simple to do. It's not. We see it more often than not. When you succeed somebody who's won national titles, mm-hmm. you don't continue to do that.
Right. Well, and they did it this season too on building an independent schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, look, I'm usually on my way in here listening to Dirt and Sprague. That's about when I get here. And so I heard they had the bearded handsome one, Joe Freeman, on a while back. So yes, they built an entirely independent schedule. If I remember correctly, he said only 19 home games this season.
They basically took on all comers, and it's like they went somewhere else and took it to them.
Yeah.
And shout out the Bees fans on the text line, beat UCLA. Look, if there's ever something I'm going to get behind with Bees fans, beat UCLA. Yes. Love it. Ring it up on them more than you did my Trojans.
Yes. Just
put crooked numbers up like crazy. I will root for you endlessly.
Yes. And so, but at this point, you know, through regionals and super regionals, the Beavers now have played a total of, let's do the math here, 62 games on the season. They had 19 home games during the regular season. And here we are back at it in Omaha after yesterday, they came out scorching.
Mm-hmm.
They came out scorching hot. They put up 7 runs in the top of the first, or bottom of the first, excuse me. 7-2 lead. They put up 6 runs in the third. So at that point, they were up 13-3. At one point, they had their largest lead, I guess, was 13-3. Mm. They wound up holding on for a 14-10 victory. So, I mean, Florida State, they made a valiant effort to come back and get this, and they Dirt and Sprague again. They had Doc Parker on this morning, and he was starting to wonder, you know, once they were up 13-4 and 14-4, he's like, okay, do I want to plan something for my final call?
Yeah.
And then as they started to let that lead slip away, he's like, I'm sure glad I didn't script anything.
I tell you what, man, Mike Parker has been a part of Beaver baseball for a long time. Over the last 10 years, he has seen some games.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I mentioned it last week, you know, the one Talking Beavers TV show I did was when they won the national title, when they dropped the blue fly ball in the outfield and keep the game going.
Like,
he's seen some stuff happen. So yes. I would imagine he was probably like, I should probably think about this. But also, it's baseball and it's this team, and you never know what the hell you're going to get into.
Well, and I love Mike Parker for a couple of reasons. One, the man is a fantastic storyteller.
Oh God, you can just listen to Mike Parker recite the alphabet and it just sounds good.
I don't know how he has all the room in his brain for all of his knowledge, mm-hmm. but the man knows everything.
It's
about everything.
Baseball is the talking sport, man, and the guys that can just keep it going from one story, whether it's talking Pulp Fiction casting, you know, mm-hmm. or the finer parts of how to throw a curveball. He just has it all. And when you do it for a long time and you do it at the level he's done it at,
mm-hmm.
there's just something about having somebody who's dyed in the wool baseball, who knows it through and through, who's done it forever. It just sounds good.
And then he also, to me, just has that quintessential AM radio sports voice.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Like it's like if you were to try to create something in a cauldron, that is what it would spit out.
Whether it's 1940 or 2040.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of cadence and speed and pacing. It's just it's rhythmic to listen to. And shout out Mike Parker. He's a great dude, great at what he does, and that Beavers baseball program is rolling. And I seriously, this isn't me just trying to like get some love from Beavers fans. I hope you guys win another World Series.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because I'm a Duck fan, I guess you mm-hmm. would say. I didn't go to either school, and that's
what. But we're also both Beavers.
Yes, Beavers and Beavers. That's always one of the jokes they always say too. Is what do Oregon and Oregon State fans have in common?
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them went to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't root against the Beavers unless they're playing Oregon.
Sure.
I'm always rooting for the Beavers. Mike Parker, one of the Corvallis, enjoy him. He's a legend. Enjoy him while you've got him. That's going to wrap up our number two. Coming up still on the show, we'll go back. We'll talk a little bit more NBA Finals with the Thunder and the Pacers. The Trailblazers made a couple of assistant coaching hires. We'll see. We'll dig into old Danny's brain here and see what their roles will be. At 2:30, we'll have my Mount Rushmore of Oregon movies. That is all coming up in hour number three. Jeff Rust, Danny Marang, Jordan Schultz. It's a Danny and Rusty edition of Danny and Dusty here on 1080 The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.